standing on the promises of God. And it is such a rich thing to think about the promises of God, because remember, those promises are made to us. All the promises that He made in the New Testament are made to us, and many of the Old Testament apply to us. And we can think about God as being our great, precious Father, which was the promise we talked about last week. And how much greater is it to have a Father in heaven who is the creator of all things, the one who sustains all things with His mighty hand, and to be able to accept Him as a Father, to be called the children of God. What a great and precious promise that is. And today, the lesson three, when God called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, remember He used rewards to give us as an incentive to come out of that darkness, to come into the light. And one of those rewards that we think of course, in 2 Peter, when He promised these exceedingly great and precious promises. And how many are there? There's quite a few. Job said that a man is born of a woman of few days and full of trouble. Isn't that the truth? It didn't take long. We're always getting ourselves into trouble, always getting ourselves into mischief. Many people today can attest to that being very, very true. Often our troubles come upon us very quickly and unceasingly, that we can not even discern their origin. It just seems like the trouble shows up on our doorstep. And we don't know the source, and all we know is right now I'm full of trouble. And most today, and I say most, they experience the occasional time of difficulties, and then they handle the situation with strength from within, which really doesn't work. Oftentimes people, they just depend upon themselves to be able to deal with all the troubles in life. And so, and I say mostly today, and the reason I say mostly today is because the truth is, when you listen to the world around you, when you watch the news, when you go to the grocery store, the masses and how they seem to handle their problems, it seems they get overwhelmed with the tiniest little things. And they turn those little tiny things into unsurmountable trouble. You know, we were at the McDonald's with our grandkids just Saturday, or Friday rather, and there was a man in there, and he had his kids, and he was screaming, yelling, losing his control. The kids were running around out of control. He had no ability to deal with those kids, but that's not how our Father is. Our Father's able to be there in our times of trouble. And most people do get overwhelmed. On May 28th, there was a news program that interrupted a TV show called The Bachelorette. And from what I heard on the news, people were calling in, writing in, texting in, and tweeting in, and whatever it is that people do. And they were all upset because he interrupted The Bachelorette. Now, the reason he interrupted The Bachelorette is because tornadoes were coming into that area, and one person died. And people are upset because they interrupted The Bachelorette. They were out of control. Standing in the grocery store line, I saw a man holding a few things in his hand, and the line was just a little bit long, and I saw the man throw the things down on the floor and just run out of the store screaming and yelling. He didn't know how to handle his troubles. He certainly needed a good, powerful, and loving, caring, merciful, but teaching hand, didn't he? But that happens all of the time. I've seen a man being thrown out of a little league baseball game because strike three was called out on his son. Just not able to handle the stresses of life. And it goes on and on and on. You know, 2 years ago, Gail McCormick, 73, left her husband of 22 years because she was wrought over the fact that he voted for Trump. Now think about that. She couldn't handle it. Emotionally wrought. Married for 22 years. And You know, sometimes that is something that actually will just lead to even more and more troubles because people aren't able to deal with the little things. These little things turn deadly in life. On May 13th, a Florida man told the police that he shot his wife in the face during a Wednesday night argument because he didn't like her disrespectful tone. Again, in May, a man called 911 and said his wife, she can't walk, she's incontinent, and I can't cope, so I killed her. Do you know what these people all have in common? A lack in trust in God. When the troubles come and you seem to be overwhelmed, you become weary, you become distressed. There's a need to cry out for help. But unfortunately, many people look within, many people look for other men or women, and they don't know where to get that comfort, and they just can't seem to find a solution. Christian, this brings us to just one more of the exceedingly great and precious promises. That is that God has promised to be our Heavenly Father. He promised to be a help in time of trouble. We read that in the book of Psalms 37 through 49 this morning. He promised to be a help in time of trouble. And let me tell you that God has been a help in time of trouble over the centuries. And sometimes we might overlook that. And there are times when His powerful hand helped people and always people who could not help themselves. God's hand changed the course of events in Egypt so that His people could be set free. When they were faced with utter destruction by the power of Pharaoh's army, God chose to open the Red Sea and allow the people to go across. He was a help in a time of trouble. When they needed manna in the wilderness, He was a help in a time of trouble. When they were thirsty, He brought water from a rock, a help in a time of trouble. And for the New Testament age, we all need help because our souls yearn for something greater than ourselves, and God sent His only begotten Son into the world, a help in a time of trouble for everyone. God has always been a help in a time of trouble. When Elijah thought he was going to die, he just felt be better to die than to live. Jezebel's chasing it. He's hiding, and God found him. He fed him, and He showed him His great power, enabled him to go back and do the work that he needed to do. God has always been a help in a time of trouble, and perhaps we need sometimes. And maybe we've overlooked the fact that there is something much more powerful than us. And God's, you know, always there, it's true that we can talk and look back at God's providence and how He has made things happen over the centuries for our good and for His will to be done. But I've never terribly been concerned so much with identifying His providence as I am in identifying His will and what He does to take care of us. I'm interested in affirming He has promised to help us, His people, people who are serving Him. And one of the greatest messages of scriptures is that God helps and delivers those who trust in Him. We read that. Psalm 37 and 40. God promises to help us. And the Lord shall help them. You hear that? He shall help them. And when it says the Lord, we're talking about the Creator of all things. We're talking about the One who has the power to make the sun, the moon, and the stars and to call them all by name. We're talking about the God who created man and woman, man from the dust of the ground and woman from the rib of Adam. We're talking about that God, that Creator. And it says that the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and to save them. Why? Because they trust in Him. That's what He's going to do. Because they trust in Him. Because we trust in Him. He's there to help us. He's there to help us to be delivered from the wicked, delivered from the real gut-wrenching problems of life, because we can always just turn to Him in prayer and know that He's there, know that He's listening. Jesus told us that He is. You have a problem in life. And so you get this habit of turning to a friend. And you know what happens when you do that? You got the problem. Nobody knows about it. So you walk over here to your friend and you say, I have a problem. And your friend says, what is it? But wait. I have a problem. And so I turn to God. And as I'm turning to God, he says, I know your problem. I know where you're at. Trust in me. And I'll help you, because that's what I promised. We can offer our situations in life up to God in prayer, knowing that He knew what it was before the words ever left our mouths. This is the promise of God. And I want to focus on the promise of God's help as we do, looking mostly into one single book of the Bible, and that is, of course, the book of Psalms. The Scriptures speak for themselves, and we want to listen. Because that's what makes the difference between a child of God and a child of the world. The child of the world says, there's the Scripture, and here's what I think it's saying. Here's what I believe it means. The child of God says, here's the Scripture. That's what God said, and that's what it means. That's how you find comfort. That's how you know God is there. That's how you can rely upon Him to be able to help you and deliver you. Because you're trusting that He is, and that what He ever said will come to pass. So we want to start now with the book of Psalm. And first of all, let's point to the fact that man cannot help himself. The Scriptures make that very, very clear. Psalm 22:11. But not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. The implication there is that no one is able to help in that situation. There's no man on earth that can resolve my problem. Psalm 60:11. Give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless. When we're talking about spiritual things, when we're talking about the yearning of our soul, when we have trials and troubles and doubts and questions and tribulation in our life, there is no man that can truly, truly help you. Yes, a friend can comfort you. Yes, a friend can possibly guide you through the Scripture, but ultimately they need to be guiding you to God, because He's the one that will help. He's the one that has that ability. He's the one that made the promise. Psalm 146:3, David said, do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. Are you getting the theme here? Psalm 94:17, unless the Lord has been my help, my soul would soon have settled in silence. You know, I find it interesting and very important, I think, that David, not this David, King David, affirms that man can neither deliver himself nor find deliverance in any other man. He can't do it. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. Man must learn not to trust in man. Not even the noble men. Not even a prince. We have to learn to put our trust in God. When we need help, we need to turn to the Lord. Isaiah 55:11, "Oh, shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth," God says. You know what that word is? "It shall not return to me," what? "Null or void. It shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I sent it." That's who God is. Isaiah 14:24, "The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely I have thought." And this is how God does things. "I thought, and it shall come to pass, as I have purposed. It shall stand." You know, that's how God is, right? The Bible tells us God said, and things happen. I certainly believe that if God thinks it, it's going to happen. The Scriptures tells us that much. In Ezekiel 12:24, the writer says, "For I am the Lord," and this is actually the Lord speaking. "I am the Lord, I speak, and the word which I speak will come to pass. It will no more be postponed." He says, "O rebellious house, I will say the word and perform it, says the Lord your God." He's going to make it happen. And he promised us to be a help in our time of trouble. That's who he is. And there's something else here as we think of something. We also know that man can't always be there. He can't always be there to help us. But God will always be there. Let's just look at some of the Psalms here. Oh, by the way, we all know this phrase, right? We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. Isn't that great? It's the future when God says, whatever comes out of my mouth, it'll come to pass. The future says that whatever I've thought, it shall come to pass. God says in the future, whatever He speaks will come to pass. It'll not be postponed. Doesn't that kind of put a damper on all the premillennialists who think that Jesus came to earth and had to postpone His plan to set up a kingdom? I don't think so. I don't think so. Now think about this as we go. Let's look at some of the Psalms. God can and He will help. Psalm 46:1, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Psalm 121:1-2, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth." Psalm 37:39-40, "But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in a time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him." Psalm 70:5, "But I am poor and needy. Make haste to me, O God. You are my helper and deliverer. O Lord, do not delay." Psalm 72:12, "For He will deliver the needy when he cries, and the poor also, and with him, and him who has no helper." Psalm 115:9, "O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield." Psalm 115:11, "You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield." 119:173, "Let your hand become my help, for I have chosen your precepts." Psalm 146:5, he says, "Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." And Psalm 146:5 is the most important, because that's where our happiness comes from. It comes from the fact that our hope is in the God of creation, the Lord of Jacob. Psalm 42:5, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." Do you hear what David's saying there? In all those texts, David is teaching us something. He's teaching us how important it is to trust in God. We want to summarize what David has said here. as we think about this. We think about David. His God is a very present help in a time of trouble. God is the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. He's our hope. God will deliver us even when there are no other helpers. And this deliverance is contingent upon us trusting in Him and choosing to live by His precepts, by His commandments. Man who does this is going to be happy and blessed. That's what God said. When we do these things, we'll be happy and we'll be blessed. With God, there's no reason to be cast down, no reason to have troubled soul. And I want you to realize that when David said these things, he was talking about his own soul. When he said in Psalm 94 verse 17 that unless the Lord had been my helper, my soul would have soon settled in silence. David was saying, my soul would have died. Our soul cannot exist without God. Our soul cannot exist without God. As we look at all these things, we turn to what the New Testament has to say about these things. In the New Testament, the same message that God will be there to help His people is found in the gospel of Christ. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 through 6. Let your conduct be without covetousness. See that? Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? In that text, I want you to notice a couple things. You notice it says up there, it says, He Himself has said. This writer is referring to God. God is the one who said this. He's making it very clear that these words are right out of the mouth of God. And He wants us to understand, God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God said that. He's going to be there to help us. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. No man can rightly say that. No man, because all men will face death. When I married Sharon, and most of the men in this room, when they married, not Sharon, but their wives, that's true, right? She said yes. You know, when we got married, we didn't get up there and say, well, I'm going to marry you, and I'm going to, it's just forever and ever and ever, we'll never part. We might have been thinking that, because one of my favorite saying is, when I say to my wife, she says, I love you, and I say, I love you forever and a day. Isn't that awesome? That's how God loves us. And you know what the difference is? He's able to do that. God is able to love you forever and a day. And we are able to love Him forever and a day because He's eternal and will exist forever. And the marriage in heaven's not going to be between me and Sharon. The marriage in heaven is going to be between every Christian that ever loved Jesus and obeyed His gospel, will one day be raised up in glory. That new heaven, that new earth, that Jerusalem, the heavenly bride is going to come down and be with God forever and ever and ever. That's a promise. But you see, when I get married and you get married, we say, until death do us part. Why do we say that? Because we're going to love and we're going to cherish, honor, and obey as long as we have breath to do so. But no man can say to you, I'm going to be your helper forever. I'm going to be your friend forever. I'm going to be your husband forever. Nobody can say that except God. And when God made the promise to be a helper in a time of trouble, that spanned it all time. And it goes on past time. It goes on into eternity. So no man can make that vow, only God. And I also want you to remember that something as we think about that in Joshua chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, or 1 through 3, and now also in verse 5. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun. And what did he tell him? He said, Moses is my servant, who was my servant is dead. Moses served the Lord, but now he's dead. Therefore, go arise and go to the Jordan with all this people. And guess what? The land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel, you're going to go possess that. And God was with Joshua, just like he was with Moses. He says in verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And what I'm trying to make a point here is that God was with Moses, or let's say God was with Adam. God was with Abraham, Jacob, Isaac. God was all the way down. He was with Noah. He was down the line. He was with everyone. But we all know that they died and they died and they died. So the greatest help, the best thing to turn to is the promise of God to be your help in a time of trouble, because he's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He's always going to be there. No man can stand like God from generation to generation in every place. What about Peter? You remember Peter walked on the water there in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 and following? When you think about Peter, you know, they see Jesus coming in the night, late night, and they're all afraid he's some kind of ghost or something, and they recognize, oh, you know, they're afraid, and Jesus says, fear not, it's I, the Lord. And Peter, oh, if it's you, Lord, bid me to come out on the water. And so Peter steps out on the water, and he doesn't sink. He doesn't sink. His faith allowed him to step out on that water. He didn't sink. But then the winds kicked up and the water was boisterous, and he began to look away from Jesus and he began to sink. Now at that time, Peter could have turned around and yelled to all his friends, help me! Throw me a line! Save me! He didn't do that. And you know, if you look at the book of John, chapter 21, verses 7 through 8, Jesus is... Peter's way out in a boat fishing, way off ashore. They see Jesus on the shore, recognize who he is, and what's he do? He girds himself, jumps out of the boat, and he had to have swam to shore. Everybody else is rowing the boat to shore and pulling this big load of fish. He could swim. Why didn't Peter just start swimming? Because he walked out on the water by faith. He also trusted Jesus to raise him up out of the water by faith. He knew Jesus would help him. He knew all he had to do was cry out to the Lord, and the Lord brought him up out of that water, and they got in the boat safe. Because the Lord was his helper. He didn't trust in men. He didn't trust in his own ability to swim. Peter's faith saved him. The bottom line, when you have the master of the universe to help you, why would you ask your friends in the boat? Why would you bother swimming yourself? Why go through life with all kinds of problems and turmoils and keep them within, or give them to some friend to help you, when you can give them to God, cast all your cares upon him, knowing that he cares for you? That's who the Father is. And that's how that he promised to be a help in a time of trouble works out so wonderfully for all of us who experience times in our lives. There's nothing greater than God. Turn to God. This was the same Peter who saw Lazarus raised from the dead. It's the same Peter that saw 5,000 people eat from a few little pieces of bread and some fish. It's the same Peter who saw Jesus transfigured before him on that mountain. It's the same Peter who, when men said, don't talk in the name of Jesus, said, you know what, that's okay for you, but as for us, we need to do what God has to say. We need to follow God. We need to speak the words of God. We need to trust the words of God. Even facing imprisonment or beatings, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and His mighty hand. He'll exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. Humble yourself. Stop thinking you're so great. Don't think anybody else is so great, but cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, Jesus, after commanding the disciples, said, go into all the world. He said, go out and you teach them as I've commanded you. You teach them everything I've commanded you, and lo, I will be with you even until the end of the age. I will be with you when they confront you. I will be with you when you feel like you just can't go on. I'll be with you when you feel like you got a thorn in the side in the flesh. I'll be with you when they put you in prison. I'll be with you when you're hungry. I'll be with you. That's His promise. That's what He promised. When you're troubled in your soul, don't call a plumber, because he can't help you. But call on the Lord. It's so important for us. It's just a simple, basic concept. And listen, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. Really good advice through the Spirit from Paul to the church. Remember, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength, through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4 and 13. And that's because He's there. That's because He's a help, an everlasting help in a time of trouble. You know, I want you to think, what man will never have if man depends upon himself? I think you already know the answer. What is it that man will never have if he depends on himself or depends on others? He'll never have the omnipotent, the powerful, all-powerful hand of God, the Creator. When God said, come to me, cast all your cares upon me, He was offering to help. And like me, being the fool sometimes that I am, when I seem to have a medical issue, my wife says, go get to the doctor, go get help. And I say, no, I don't want to go to the doctor. God, you can go to God. You can have that all-powerful hand, something that no man will be able to give you. If it were not for God, the doctors, they can't fix you. If you have a broken arm, the doctors can put it in a cast. They can put pins in it all day long, but if God doesn't heal it, it's not going to change anything. Because the doctors don't heal. They just patch and fix up so that God can heal. You know, they can set that broken bone. They can stitch that cut flesh. But if God doesn't help with healing it, it's not going to happen. And the same thing spiritually speaking. No soul can ever find rest apart from the Lord. It's the Lord who said, come unto me all ye that are heavily laden and labored, and I will give you rest. Learn of me. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is the one that we can turn to in our times of trouble. God's people alone possess this exceedingly great and precious promise. In that God is everlasting to everlasting, God is always there. He's always able to help. And when everybody else fails, He's going to be there. Do you know how many self-help books there are in the world? Numerous. Uncountable, probably. Do you know how many famous people in Hollywood boast about their shrinks? Who's your shrink? Who's your shrink? My shrink said. And you know how many years they go to those shrinks? They don't end. Why? Because the shrinks don't help. They just collect money. But that's not so with God. God, through His Word, will give you resolve. God, through His Word, will be an everlasting help for you in a time of need. God is the one that will be there. Application. All that has been said is valuable to Christians only if you apply this to your life. If any of you watch Andy Griffith, remember what Andy told Aunt B. Call the man. Because that refrigerator is not going to get fixed if you don't call the man. You have to apply it, all the principles and precepts, into your life. We can't afford the luxury of forgetting or ignoring what God has promised. When we fail to apply the truth in our lives, certainly no one is justified in blaming God for our troubles. You can't live a life wasteful and blame the Father. Remember the prodigal son? He didn't blame his father. He took everything the father had. He went out and wasted it. And when it was all gone, who did he turn to? The Father. Think of that in a spiritual sense. God is not the author of bad things. He's the author of good things. James says every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, with His no variableness, neither shadow of turning of His own will. He begat us by the word of truth. It is the devil. He's the source of our problems, not God. As we know what Peter said, he's that adversary. He walks about like a roaring lion. He's seeking to destroy, to devour. God is there to help us in our time of need. I want you to look at this psalm up on the screen as we close out our lesson. I want you to be thinking about this. It says, as for man... As for man, his days are like grass, a flower of the field. So he flourishes just like that flower, for the wind passes over it and it's gone. And its place is remembered no more. Are you going to trust in man that's like that flower, that grass of the field, as James talked about it? The sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass and the flower of it falleth, and the grace and the fashion of it perishes. So also is man. Are you going to trust all into man? Or are you going to rely on the mercy of the Lord that's from everlasting to everlasting? Are you going to keep Him at the forefront of your need? I hope this helps in everything. Because the scripture tells us whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How do you call on the name of the Lord? You do it by the Word of God. You do it by the words of God. You know, it was God who tells us how to be saved. John 6:45, He tells us, Jesus says, that we must hear and be taught in order to come to Him. Jesus, the one who died upon the cross, the one who shed His blood freely, and it offers that blood to you for the remission of sins, tells us that we must hear. What do we hear? We hear the Scriptures. The Scriptures tell us that we have to believe and be baptized to be saved. How? Because when we're baptized, Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4, we're buried with Christ in that watery grave of baptism, in His death, and that's where the blood was shed, in death. We come in contact with that blood. We're raised up from the dead of that grave to walk in a newness of life. Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. If you have a need this day, if you need to be baptized, if you need to repent of your sins, now is the time to turn and ask God for help. The church is here to help you. We're here to work with you, to show you what the Scriptures have to say, and also to pray for you if we need to. And you can do that today while we stand and sing.